Conference record has joined the conference.
Hi everyone, this is Heather Van Cura, and we have our final Adopt a JSR online meeting today, December 22nd. And today we're doing a follow-up topic that came out of one of our earlier Adopt a JSR meetings on the Java EE 8 platform specification, when we talked about how Java user groups who are participating in the Adopt a JSR program can kind of transition from having more of a meeting where it's speaker and networking to also incorporating some Adopt a JSR and Hack Day events, as well as kind of coming out of those events, how you can coordinate your feedback within your Java user group and feed it back to the spec leads through Adopt a JSR program into those JSRs so that the spec leads can incorporate your feedback back and create better Java standards. So today we have two Java user groups who actually are the initiators of this program and the first people to start on Adopt a JSR back in, I guess, 2 years ago, in 2012. So we have Martijn Verberg from the London Java community and Bruno Souza from SoJava in Brazil. So we're going to ask them to share some of their tips, and the Java user group leaders who are on the call can follow up with some questions to add to that discussion, and we'll post this online. So thanks, Martijn and Bruno, for joining. I'll ask you maybe take turns and share some of your best practices, lessons learned, and tips, and then we'll take questions from the Adopt a JSR leaders who are on the call. So I'm going to start with Bruno. Or Martijn, about whoever okay. Whoever volunteers.
So, Martijn, you want to start?
Yeah, sure. Hi, everyone. So, so in London, there were kind of a couple of ways we saw that there were that the feedback we could give was actually something that was actionable by the expert groups. So one key thing is that with the new rules under the way that all the JSRs work is that every single JSR has to have an open issue tracker, which is more often than not a JIRA system that hangs off the project, off the particular subproject or the particular JSR on java.net. So if you go to any project that is a JSR on java.net, there is always a link on the left-hand side which has issues listed. Now, every single one of those issues has to be addressed in what's called, a reasonable manner by the time the JSR is actually finished, which means the expert groups are very good at keeping an eye on those issue lists and triaging them and responding to questions and things on those issue lists. So one way to even post sort of questions about an API or issues or concerns or things like that it's definitely one place you can just add a new issue there and it will get looked at. The other common way is that we use a shared Google Doc during a meeting, whether it's a speaker presenting a JSR or whether we're running a hack day. And throughout the day, people can just add questions, comments, concerns, snippets of code that didn't work, stack traces, bugs, things like that shared Google Doc. And usually the one or two people who are leading that hack day effort, or who perhaps the person who gave the talk, who probably has a little bit more knowledge about the JSR at hand, can then collate those issues and sort of split them up into two pieces. One is, again, the issues in the JIRA issue tracker. So if there are genuine bugs or there are questions about the API design which are of great concern, that can go into the issue tracker. And other things can just go to the expert group mailing list. So there's a mailing list for every single JSR that's, again, open and available for anyone to post to. And you can just put your questions in there. I would say those are probably the two main places you should provide feedback for that ensures that the expert group will actually pick it up and act on it. And I guess the key thing as well is that you need to make sure that you have at least one person who is added to the mailing list for the issues, which you can sign up to, again, by java.net, or the just the general mailing list for that JSR as well. And again, you can sign up through java.net. And that's pretty much it from us. That's how we've kind of operated, and it's worked pretty well today.
Okay, thanks. Any questions for Martine before we move on, and then we'll do general questions? I'll switch over to hear some feedback from Bruno and what they've done in Brazil. So Bruno?
Okay, so I think that Martine has a very good, process that you can do on the meetings. And one of the things that I'd like to add is that, you know, when people start to join the adopted JSR, it's normal that they don't exactly understand how the JCP works or how JSR works. And it's since most of us are Java developers, it's very normal that we kind of tend to look at those things as, open source projects, for example, or coding projects. And so it's very good to have someone on the user group to kind of explain how things work and explains, this whole notion of specifications and things like that. I like to tell the story like a real life story that happened, when Otavio Santana, started to help us out on the adopted JSR. He just got last year the JCP Member of the Year award for his work on a few JSRs. But when he first joined, he was already a contributor on OpenJDK and several other open source projects. So he was looking at the JSRs as a normal open source project. And, he was immediately really, he sent me an email and said, Bruno, I'm trying to follow this JSR and nothing's happened. I think this JSR is dead. And so I told him, I said, well, this JSR has just been approved. The ballot for approval of this JSR was ended yesterday. So, it's, of course, there's nothing in it right now. So this kind of things, this kind of, passing this kind of information, it's important. Because it's very easy for someone that's not used to a standard process to just take a look at what's going on. And there's a lot of times that nothing happens on the JSR because there's voting going on or, there's some initial discussions going on. And so it's very good to have someone to kind of give this initial, this feedback and get people to stay excited even through those times. And another interesting way to do this is also to get, to turn the discussion around the JSR, instead of discussing the JSR itself, you bring into the user group discussions about the topic that the JSR is going to talk about. So, for example, Otavio has been participating in a lot on the money JSR and the measurement JSR. So the things that we did here was to create, we gathered several people from, they're developing financial applications and applications that had anything to do with money. And, we got them together to discuss how they would solve certain types of problems, so how they would solve money conversions, how they would solve or in the case of the measurement API, how they would solve, having different variables assigned in different measurements. So discuss those things and how they're doing today on their source code and what would need to improve. And so those kind of discussions are a lot easier for people that are doing those projects to actually understand and participate. And all of these can be feedback back to the spec lead or to the expert group on how people are doing today things or where do they find today problems. And then it ends up helping a lot. So I think that's one of the main challenges that we have in the Adopt JSR is how to actually get developers excited and interested in doing specification work. So those are some ideas that you can use to get, to turn that specification discussion into a more immediately helpful things for the developers.
Okay, thanks, Bruno. So we have a couple of Java user groups on the call. Did you have any questions or maybe some topic that you were hoping to get addressed that didn't come up in the feedback that Bruno and Martine shared? Any?
So I have a question. This is Bob from Chicago. One of the things that I think Martine brought up is submitting JIRAs and issuing the mailing list. And it sounded like those were two different use cases. I mean, I guess the scenario I see is, you know, we have kind of a diverse user group, and I don't know that, you know, the opinions are always going to be the same. So, I mean, if it's a discussion type thing, maybe there's some disagreement on how things should work within the user group that may be more of a, like a mailing list topic versus a concise piece of kind of directed feedback is more issued for the JIRA. I mean, would that be accurate, or how do you distinguish between mailing list or JIRA?
Yeah, so you're right. So if it's a discussion, or if people are unsure, then it should really be a discussion on the mailing list first. The issue tracker is usually used for either tracking existing features they're trying to build, genuine bugs that people have discovered, or if people do have a real genuine concern with an aspect of the specification. Let's say, for example, you know, a couple of security experts in your Java user group may, you know, feel that the overall design of the new proposed security JSR is just fundamentally against best practice principles in the industry. And if you want to make a very strong statement trying to warn the expert group that they're going down the wrong path, then the issue tracker is a good place to do it, because, again, that is treated as a very trackable, serious place where the expert group needs to come back and resolve those issues in a reasonable manner.
Mm. Okay. Yep, that makes sense.
Now, I do have one question. This is Freddie from Bob's counterpart here, the Chicago Java Users Group. I just have a question about logistics. Every time you guys have one of these, like, sort of like hack nights or essentially sessions with the Adapa JSR, what would you say is the attendance rate? I guess mostly like as a percentage of your usual user group size. Well, that's, if you have London and Brazil, that's huge. So I'm just trying to figure out, like, for our user group, we probably have, you know, like around 1,200 people. And if we advertise one of these, I just want to get a sense of what can we expect in terms of people biting the bullet and saying, hey, I want to collaborate on this. I mean, do you feel that is very easy to get people involved, or is it very hard to get, you know, people to come into these things?
So it really depends on how you set it up. The key thing is that, rightly or wrongly, a lot of people expect to have their hands held quite strongly when they come to one of these hack sessions. So if it is clear up front that there is a definite tutorial that people can go through, for example, maybe a GitHub project they can really take a look at, or if it's made very clear that, you know, they will have everything provided for them, we tend to get between, say, 20 and 30 people turning up to that sort of a day. And quite a few of those people are therefore, you know, then contribute quite well throughout that day. If we're not prepared enough, then we usually have a smaller amount of people turn up. And, you know, you tend to spend most of the day on installation or explaining things. And sort of by the time the day is finished, you haven't actually really gotten a lot done. So I will say that, unfortunately, that, you know, the people who are running the session do have to do, you know, a fair amount of preparation up front. But again, it's where the expert group people can help, because quite often they themselves have got small test programs or a test suite or something real that can actually be worked against with, you know, a real build file and an accompanying tutorial.
Got it. Thanks.
Yeah. And just to add to that, you know, when you announce things on the user group mailing list, if if what you announce, it's very generic and people don't exactly understand what's going to happen, they won't come, right? So it's easier. So for example, when you announce there's going to be someone's going to speak about something, it's very easy for people to understand and decide to come. But if you say, you know, come here, let's hack together on a JSR, people don't know exactly what that is and won't come. So a good way for you to, you know, start the day with some kind of presentation, for example, and so to attract people to come and so they can understand what's going on. And then you add some other form. Another thing that we've done very successfully is call people for dojos. And that's another, you know, like a catchy name that people understand. And then you can help and walk people through JSR code and things like that. So, you know, it depends a lot on how you advertise. But in any case, you know, compared to a normal, you're asking about percentage, I would say that compared to a normal meeting where we just have presentations, the attendance on hacking JSR things, it's a lot lower. I would say about 20% of people that would come for a normal attendance meeting, and I think that's okay. It's a very different process. It's you know, it's much more like a one-on-one kind of thing. It's more it's more discussions and people kind of doing their own stuff together with others, but you know, each one has to be pretty independent to actually make it work. So it's normal that you have a lot less people.
Got it.
And you almost want it to be less people. We found that a small focus group of around 15 to 20 people is actually gets more, we get more value out of that. So for Landers and Date and Time in particular, that was sort of the most effective size group for a hack day, that is. Now, if you want to present a new JSR, like Arun came over and spoke about WebSockets some time ago now in London, he had an audience of about 120. And throughout that talk, people were able to, you know, add questions and comments to the shared Google Doc, which Arun then took back to the expert group by the end of that conversation. So that was quite useful.
Yeah, that's kind of like a fun idea, because we do have people present on like the new JSRs whenever we thought about like having sort of like a back-end document where people can actually submit feedback on the JSR itself.
So I have a follow-up question on that, too, is, you know, engaging people in the meetup, not the meetup discussions, but the mailing list discussions. You know, I've used an example, Martin, when for 366, they were talking about adopting three additional JSRs to the spec. And, you know, one of those was the JSON processing, and you had raised, you know, this is kind of the London Java Users Group's opinion on this, and how did you build that consensus opinion or how did you develop that to say, as a jug, this is kind of how we felt about it and this is our recommendation?
So we're obviously, we've been doing this for a while and we're quite large, so it can't be perhaps done this way with all groups. We have a standing committee who is, I guess, representative of the Java user group. And when a topic like JSONP comes up, we'll discuss it in the committee. There's about eight of us and we're constantly changing who that is, et cetera. And we typically, you know, if we raise something like this issue of JSONP, you know, being proposed both in SE and in EE, we go, oh, hang on a second, that doesn't sound good. That's when we usually fire up to the main mailing list, which we've got, you know, 4,000 people on. And, you know, we sort of ask people some fairly directed questions. You know, we try not to have an open-ended conversation too much, because if you have several thousand people all throwing their opinions in, it gets quite difficult. So in that particular case, we asked directly, you know, would people prefer to see JSONP as a core part of Java, as a core part of Java EE, or do people feel strongly that it shouldn't even be a standard, and that even though JSON seems like it is the dominant message exchange format today, it, you know, like XML slowly disappearing, will it not be there tomorrow? And then we got the responses in from that, and it was, you know, a pretty strong preference that people wanted it to be either part of SE or not there at all.
Okay, how big is your subcommittee?
It is about 8 people, ranges anything between 8 and 10.
Great. Thank you.
That's just another point of view. The way that we usually do is that we do have a weekly board meeting for the user group, and it's an open meeting with anyone can dial in. It's like a 800 number that anyone can dial in, and so we have a core group of around 15 people that participates, and then I would say 10 more that kind of come and go, and there's some oddballs that show up from time to time. And then those, we do those discussions in the main list, but voting and things like that happens on that open call. So whatever decision the group has comes out from those weekly discussions.
Very good.
Okay, well, I think we got some great perspective from a few different user groups. Any remaining questions or topics that you're interested in hearing about for the future? Okay, you can always send those to me in email. I'm going to go ahead and end the call. I want to thank everyone for participating, and if you're listening, thanks for listening, and thanks to Bruno and Martin for sharing your learnings with your user groups, and we'll check in again in 2015.
Okay. Cool. Have a great holiday, everyone.
Thank you. Definitely.
Thanks, everyone. It was great. Thanks.
Thanks for that.